Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by Fantasy Football Scouts. I'm Mark McGettigan. You'll find me on social media at FPL General. I hope you've all survived the international break, thankfully the last one of the campaign. This episode will follow a slightly different structure than usual because my wildcard is active, so there'll be a big focus on that. The deadline for Game Week 30 is 11 a.m. UK time. Not going to spend any time looking backwards this week, not doing a Game Week review, nothing like that, because nobody wants to relive the horror that was blank Game Week 29. We'll just bury that one under the carpet and never speak about it again. So we're going to look forward in this one. A quick mention of 59th Minute Club members, questions from social media. I'll talk you through a wildcard watch list, which is the players I'm looking at to build this new squad. I'll then run through my latest wildcard draft and what I'm leaning towards in terms of bench boost, free hit, all that kind of stuff. And I'll finish off with captaincy for Game Week 30. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening to get future episodes, and leave a 5-star review as well if you deem it so. Before I get stuck into the wildcard discussion and the questions, the 59th Minute Club, those of you who listened to the most recent episode, we had Evan Ferguson from Brighton getting the hat-trick appearance of first person this season to do so, joining players like Luka Milivojevic. I think Pascal Gross might have done it at one point as well. As promised, sent Evan Ferguson a message, sent him a DM on the old Instagram. Don't think he has seen it yet, but we will wait patiently. Hopefully he clicks into his message requests and gets that congratulations from myself and an invite to join me on the podcast. But I'm sure he won't be best pleased getting a message about getting three 59th minute substitutions. Of course, he wants to be playing a lot more minutes in the Premier League. So I might end up getting blocked rather than a reply. But we'll keep you updated if there's any correspondence from Evan. Just a quick mention as well from the most recent game week. Pelle Ruddock Mpanzu from Luton got his second 59th minute substitution of the season. So keep an eye on Mpanzu for the rest of the campaign to see if he can join Ferguson. Mpanzu has two 59s. He also has a 60. So the numbers suggest there could be a third one to come in the final 9 game weeks. Getting into the questions. First one is from Andrew John Porter. What's the best strategy for those with a wildcard, free hit and bench boost? And what different ways to use them to go against the crowd to possibly make gains but at a risk? Throw in another question along with this one from Historian FPL. Given the bench boost in a double game week relies on cheap goalkeepers and two cheap defenders, is bench boost 34 worthwhile given that Everton and Crystal Palace have cheap options for us to use? Or has the Spurs blank sent that option for a Burton? That's the first time I've ever heard that phrase. I had to Google it. Basically, has the Spurs blank killed off that idea? So first off, of course, we're all coming at this from different angles. I am in the same boat as Andrew. Wildcard available, active this week. Free hits available and the bench boost as well. Now, of course, a lot of people already use the free hit, which, you know, slightly changes your strategy. But I don't think it changes things too much. But of course, for this episode, mostly what I will talk about is coming from my viewpoint. But of course, you can apply that to your own strategy for the next couple of game weeks. So my wildcard's active. I think this week's a good week to wildcard. I think game week 31 is also a good week to wildcard if you've got all of those chips available. When I first played the chip last Sunday, you know, a week and a half ago now, the first thing I tried to do was build a bench boost for game week 34, because traditionally we like to wildcard and bench boost as close together as we can. And initially I didn't love the idea of wildcard 30 or 31 and then not bench boosting until game week 37, which is a long time in FPL. Lots can go wrong and you can end up spending a lot of transfers to, you know, get a decent bench boost out quite a few game weeks down the line. But, you know, Historian FPL's question here mentioned Everton and Crystal Palace players. You could build a bench boost for game week 34 with players like Branthwaite, maybe a Jordan Pickford, Dean Henderson now possibly, with Sam Johnston injured. You've got Chris Richards, who's only 3.9 million. You've got Munoz, who looks very good at right wing back, although might have picked up an injury. I think it was with Colombia, so keep an eye on that one. But when I put the draft together, I just didn't love it. I didn't love the bench boost 34. There was a lot of players, you know, you need to bring in Carry before that. And looking, you know, haven't spent a lot of time looking at the fixtures during this international break. To me, the free hit chip just feels more exciting in 34. I feel like you can, you know, go slightly different with that. Of course, you know, a lot of people have Arsenal players already, Liverpool players already, but they won't, if they don't have a free hit, they can't cherry pick the best three in that specific game week. You know, players like Havertz and Odegaard might be great options. Luis Diaz, you know, there could be a couple of injuries. We will hopefully know then the goalkeeper situation at Liverpool. So you can go Alisson or Kelleher on a free hit, depending on which one is best. We'll know then if Trent is back or if you can go for a Bradley. So there's still a lot up in the air, particularly with Liverpool. So I've come to the conclusion that I like free hit 34 more than bench boost 34. And also playing a big part in my decision here is I value the free hit chip much more highly than I do the bench boost chip. I don't really like the bench boost chip. I don't like, you know, planning for weeks and weeks for it. So I am probably going to play the bench boost in 37, but I'm not going to tailor my strategy completely before then to transfer players with bench boost only in mind. I want to try and get a, not focus too much on the chips and just have a, you know, a strong base each game week and try and just get those green arrows. So that's the plan. The wildcard's active this week. I'm going to free hit in 34. Historian FPL mentioned again the Spurs blank. That is a big factor because Spurs have three very good fixtures now. They don't play in 34. You've also got Chelsea who've got good fixtures and doubles to come later, like Tottenham. So if you load up on Chelsea and Tottenham right now, Chelsea play Arsenal away in 34, you free hit them out. Tottenham don't play in 34, you free hit them out. Then you have five or six of those guys back for two double game weeks, maybe even that tiny chance of a triple game week. So if you're wildcard in 30 or 31, I just think it makes sense with the Chelsea and Tottenham factor in particular to free hit in 34 and then bench boost later. So that is the plan. Andrew asked about different ways to be different, you know, play differently. I haven't been keeping a close eye on the community in terms of what people are doing, if they're wildcarding this week, next week, in terms of when they're going to free hit and bench boost. I would imagine most will probably follow the route that I'm taking in free hitting 34, which was always kind of the plan for most people anyway. It wasn't until the fixtures were presented to us that we started looking at bench boost 34. So I think most will probably free hitting 34 if they still have it, and then bench boost after. So if you are trying to be different, you probably flip it and you do maybe go ahead and bench boost in 34 and then use your free hit in 37 if you still have it. Question from Chuka Korimata. Is it a crazy idea to go without Erling Haaland for the next few game weeks? It would enable basically all the other big guns like Salah, Son, Saka, Foden, two 8 million forwards into my squad. If I want both Haaland and Salah, I have to sell Son or Saka and Madison. So, at the very start of the international break, when I activated the wildcard, the first draft I put together had no Erling Haaland, and I liked the balance that you could get across the squads. My latest draft, though, does have Erling Haaland. And again, I want to try and simplify FPL for the rest of the season. Good players, I say good players, great players from great teams that are fighting for a title. I want as many of those as possible. And of course, Erling Haaland is a very reliable captain in a lot of game weeks for the final 9 weeks of the campaign. So I do want to have him. I sold him recently. I think it was for Carlton Morris. Remember that? So pretty sure Haaland's going to come back in for me. If you're wildcarding this week or next week, there is a viable strategy to go without him. Of course, we've seen people go without Haaland all season and be in the top 100 in the world ranking. So there's plenty of ways to play this game. And at 14.3 million, he does put a big strain on things now if you've sold him recently and you need to get him back in. Fixtures for City: Arsenal at home, Villa at home, Palace away, Luton at home. So of course, Arsenal on paper doesn't look fantastic, but it is a home game and it is Erling Haaland. If City win that game, he's probably going to be involved. And what I like most here is there's three home games in the next four. Villa at home is a good fixture. And of course, Luton in four game weeks' time is also a good one. But am I right in saying, is that game week 34? So, yeah, 30, 31. Yeah, I think it might be. So there'll probably be a question for free hitters in 34. Do you keep Haaland as a single game weeker? Or do you go for three double game week forwards? That bridge will be crossed when it comes. I can understand why you would go without Haaland to fit all the midfielders in, but I don't think he's worth compromising on. I just think he's so reliable, he's so consistent, and it comes down to captaincy for me. He's very reliable in a lot of fixtures. Question from Ryo: with three Tottenham players in my squad, should we keep them for the next few game weeks or start to get rid of them? So again, this is probably someone who doesn't have a free hit in 34 or is not planning to use it in that game week. Do you stick with your Tottenham guys or do you start to get off them slowly? Well, you certainly don't get off them this week because they've got Luton at home, so keep them for that. Even after that, they've got West Ham, another decent fixture, then Forest. So that's the three fixtures I mentioned. So if you can keep them for the majority of those fixtures and then maybe lose one or two closer to 34 itself, maybe, you know, if you can arrive at 34 with two free transfers, or you lose one in 33 and then another one in 34, or you try and bench them, is probably the best approach. After that, they've got Newcastle, then the blank, but they will have two double game weeks to come. So long-term Tottenham guys are good if you can weather the storm in blank game week 34. Question from James Attrell: haven't wildcarded yet. My team is pretty well set up for this game week, but is it worth activating now to get Salah in for the next few fixtures? Yeah, a lot of people are in this boat where they were planning to wildcard in 31. There's obviously temptation now to go a week earlier if you don't have Salah, for example, and now you know the fixtures for 34, so you can plan. What I would say is, if your plan all along was 31 and your team looks good this week, then I wouldn't bother wildcarding. I would just wait and stick to your initial plan. Of course, it would be nice to have Salah at home to Brighton, but you know, there's no guarantee he's going to deliver, and you've probably got a good captaincy candidate in your squad anyway. You might have a Son or a Cole Palmer. One of the main reasons I wildcarded during the break was, quite simply, didn't like my team anymore. I'd sold quite a few players, you know, while I was dead-ending into the blank game 29. So don't have Salah, didn't have Cole Palmer. So those two are the main reasons, I think, for wildcarding, because they both have good fixtures this week. But again, if you already own the Chelsea man, there's less, you know, need for you to wildcard this week. Looking at the players I did have in game 29 who I no longer wanted, there was loads, you know, triple Luton, including Morris up front. Ivan Toney don't really want. Ended up with double West Ham midfielders and Bowen and Kudus. You know, one of them's fine, but don't want to double up. Madison hasn't been doing much, and I'm not sure if he's going to be in the wildcard squad. And then I had Pau Torres as well, who I no longer want. And also, Areola and David Raya don't really want to use either of those in this upcoming game week either in terms of fixtures. The wildcard also gives me the option to get players back who I sold recently, like Solanke and Garnacho, and maybe pick up someone like a Maniz, who's a very good enabler. So I think from my squad, it felt like the right thing to do. but there'll be plenty of squads out there that can wait a week for the wild card, and you're just hoping Salah doesn't do too much. But even if he does go big, his ownership's only about 24-25%, so it's probably the lowest it's going to be for the rest of the season. But again, maybe there's opportunity there if you want to get him, captain him, and if he does do well, you're probably looking at a healthy green arrow. Question from CJ. Who are the best goalkeepers to set up with for a wild card now with a free hit 34 and bench boost 37 in mind? So again, this is something I'm trying to figure out, and I'm finding that the goalkeeper puzzle is the hardest part of the wild card. Defenders is not easy either. Midfielders and forwards is straightforward. There's loads of good options, good fixtures, good teams. But goalkeepers and defenders, given the lack of clean sheets this season and the tricky schedule to navigate now with those chips, it's not straightforward. I'm probably going to lose David Raya. I don't really want double Arsenal defence for the next few weeks, and I'm going to keep Gabriel. I'm going to lose Areola as well. I don't think there's any double game weeks coming for him. What I've settled on, because I'm trying to fit in Haaland and Son and Salah and Saka, lots of big players, I need enablers. And I feel like Kelleher at Liverpool could be the final piece of the jigsaw. The draft I'm going to run through soon has 0.0 in the bank, and it has Kelleher in goal along with Petrovic at Chelsea. So I think Petrovic is an obvious choice because there's some decent fixtures in the short term and the two double game weeks to come later, or maybe a triple. Yeah, but much more likely to be two doubles is my understanding. The thinking on Kelleher would be there's no specific timeline on Alisson just yet. Kelleher rotates quite well with Petrovic for the next 3 or 4 game weeks. You get a lot of good fixtures against, you know, promoted teams. Then when it gets to 34, obviously I'd free hit Petrovic and Kelleher out. Petrovic plays Arsenal that week, so you're not going to have him. Then you're kind of looking forward to the bench boost. What do you do in 37? Petrovic is good for that with a double, most likely. Do you keep Kelleher if he's still in goal for Liverpool at that point, away to Aston Villa? Or we've got transfers, so maybe Kelleher good short term. If I get to game week 35, 36, 37 and Alisson is back, then I just sell Kelleher for a double game week goalkeeper. And by that point, I'll have a better idea of who is the best goalkeeper to pair with Petrovic for that game week 37. Because there's doubts at the moment over, you know, the Newcastle goalkeeper position. Maybe the Brighton goalkeeper position becomes clear by then. There might be a set first choice if there's an injury to the other, for example. Ederson and Onana are attractive for bench boost 37, but I don't want to put Ederson in my team budget-wise. Straight away, it's a problem. So maybe I do that closer to the time. And Onana, I don't love him as a pick, you know, before that either. So I'm leaning towards Petrovic and Kelleher, rotating those two with good fixtures in the short term, free hit them out in 34. And then when we get closer to bench boost 37, either just keep Kelleher if Alisson is out for the season, or else just use a free transfer. And by then, I'll just need to free up some funds elsewhere before that to be able to upgrade Kelleher to, you know, a 4.5 or a 4.6 option. So goalkeepers, certainly not straightforward, but that's where I am leaning. Question from Luke. Luke's also on a Game Week 30 wildcard. Is going without Saka and Foden a mistake? I have a midfield of Salah, Luis Diaz, Palmer, Havertz and Richarlison or Son. There's no Manchester City in the team at all. So that's the thing I don't like most, the fact that there's no Manchester City. Again, trying to keep FPL simple, very good chance Manchester City win the league, very good chance they score plenty of goals for the rest of the season. Probably going to be clean sheets in there as well, but who do you pick in defence is the hard part. So I think one of Foden or Haaland is important. It's not necessary, but I think it just makes sense. You could even have both. Salah, I think, is a must-have if you're wildcarding. I don't necessarily think you need Luis Diaz. Maybe he's good for the double when it actually comes, but do you need him before that? I'm not so sure. Cole Palmer, again, must-have on a wildcard this week or next week. Havertz, having a pretty good second half of the season, but is he a must-have? I don't think so. And then certainly one Tottenham attacker, if not both, makes sense, especially if you are going to free hit in 34. If you still have it, maybe you don't, and that will obviously impact your thinking. Obviously, I like Son a lot more than Richarlison because security of minutes, talisman. Richarlison, I do like as a pick and I'm tempted by him, but I'm just not sure I'm going to end up going there. Second question leads into this from Rishi Patel. What order would you prioritise these six midfielders on a wildcard 34, free hit 34, bench boost 37? Salah, Son, Palmer, Richarlison, Saka and Foden. So Salah number one, Cole Palmer number two, probably going to put Son number three if you've got a free hit available, especially. He's very attractive. So then you've got Foden, Saka and Richarlison. I'm probably going to put Saka number four, Foden number five and Richarlison number six. So that gives you an idea of what my wildcard midfield might look like. Questions are almost done. Next one's from Tino Beans FPL. Is Ben White a better pick than Gabriel? Ben White's been good recently, but again, I just think Gabriel, first of all, he's cheaper, I'm pretty sure, and he's a huge goal threat, and we know Arsenal are good for clean sheets as well. So I still like Gabriel most from the Arsenal defence. I wouldn't overthink that one. But maybe if you're going double, you go Ben White now over a Saliba to go alongside Gabriel in your back line. Question from FPL Bafana. Ollie Watkins is the top scorer in FPL this season. Yet to have Salah, Haaland and other premiums and prepare for double game week 34 with the likes of Darwin and Solanke, it's difficult to fit him into our squads. Is going without the FPL top scorer folly or rather a smart calculated risk? Again, a question I'm asking myself. I've had Watkins for most of the season. He is the top scorer in FPL. But I'm more interested in who's going to be the top scorer for the next 9 game weeks, not who's been the top scorer for the first 30 game weeks. So Ollie Watkins is not going to be in my wildcard, I'm pretty sure. The fixture this week against Wolves is good. Could keep him and then sell him the week after. I haven't ruled that out. You know, keep Watkins this week, maybe go to Darwin then for the midweek, where Darwin plays Sheffield United, I'm pretty sure, and Watkins plays Manchester City. So maybe that's the ideal time to lose Watkins. But I think on a wildcard, I don't like booking in transfers. There's a lot of strikers I like who've got double game weeks on the horizon, and I want to get Erling Haaland back. So there's just not going to be space for Ollie Watkins, I don't think, in my wildcard squad. And of course, it's a risk. He's a very good scorer, and he's got high ownership, but I'm not letting ownership influence my decisions, and I want to play a little bit more aggressively for the rest of the campaign. That's the questions covered. Before I run through the wildcard watch list and the wildcard draft, a quick plug from my Patreon. FPL content creation is my full-time job. If you want to support me and get extra content, visit patreon.com/FPL General or just Google FPL General Patreon and you should be able to find it pretty easily. Moving on to the wildcard watch list now. Again, a reminder, the plan is free hit 34, bench boost 37. So that influences which players are on the watch list. There's a couple of players here that are probably going to be removed from the watch list over the next day or two because they were here when I was looking at the bench boost 34 idea. That's players like Branthwaite and maybe Richards and a few others. But again, Richards might make it into whatever squad I pick because he is 3.9. So goalkeepers on the watch list, I'll read through them first and then talk about one or two of them. David Raya, Petrovic, Onana, Pickford, Kelleher and Henderson. So again, Petrovic I think is going to be a lock, and then I'm leaning towards Kelleher as the enabler because, you know, having Kelleher allows me to have all the big hitters in midfield and attack, and I can always figure out the bench boost goalkeeper problem down the line. Probably going to lose David Raya. I think I already have removed him, have I? Yeah, I think I removed him for Petrovic, so I've kind of lost maybe 0.1 or 0.2 there already, so very unlikely to put David Raya back in. Don't like the fixtures short-term anyway for double Arsenal defence. I'm fine with just one. Onana, definitely an option, but again, probably going to just get him later if I decide that's who I want for 37 bench boost. Pickford was here more so if I was going to bench boost in 34. I like him for those going down that route. And Henderson, same reason as Pickford. If you're bench boosting in 34, Henderson looks attractive now with Johnston injured. So yeah, Petrovic, Kelleher, I think is where I'm going to end up. Lots of defenders on the watch list. Gabriel, Pedro Porro. I've got Van Dijk and Bradley from Liverpool. Ake, Walker and Stones from Manchester City. Although I think Walker's injured at the moment. I think Stones went off injured as well. Just probably going to avoid City defenders. Too much rotation. Trippier, Fabian Scher and Lascelles. I did have Botman on the watch list, but he's been removed and Lascelles has been added. Gusto, Aitnuri, Munoz and Richards at Palace, Branthwaite at Everton, and I've got Richards down here twice, so that tells you I'm quite keen on him. Gabriel's definitely going to stay. I've had Porro for quite a while as well. I've got a lot of value tied up in him, so you know I don't have to go and pay 5.8 for him. I think I got him a lot cheaper than that. And the way the fixtures have fallen, before the fixtures were announced, I was pretty sure I was going to go without Pedro Porro on the wild card. But now it makes more sense with my strategy. Good fixtures coming, free hit him out in 34, and you've got him back for the double game weeks. And thankfully, I didn't remove him when I was wildcard tinkering, so I still have him at that cheaper price. Liverpool defenders are attractive. Van Dijk, just the safest one, but never going to be able to afford him with the big hitters I have currently. Bradley, I'm keeping an eye on the Trent situation, because if it looks like Bradley might get the next two starts, I might go there. But again, that probably means I don't go Kelleher. And then there's a domino effect there that if I don't go Kelleher, I have to spend more for a goalkeeper. I need to downgrade somewhere else. So Bradley might not make it regardless. Yeah, Bradley scored a great goal for Northern Ireland, beating Scotland 1-0, just to remind us of what he can do in the final third. Again, probably avoid City defenders. Newcastle have good fixtures, and Newcastle are an attractive team for wildcarders who are free hit 34, bench boost 37. So Lascelles, I think he's only 3.9. Might take a gamble there. Can't be 100% sure he's going to come in and play every game. You know, Dan Byrne could play centre-back, for example, but I might take the gamble. And of course, if the gamble doesn't work, there's transfers available to fix it before the bench boost. Malo Gusto, like Petrovic, locked in to the team. Cheap enabler, great fixtures, works well for the strategy with doubles to come. Aitnuri and Branthwaite and Munoz probably won't make it now. They're more so for a bench boost 34 approach. But Richards, I think, probably will make it just because of price at 3.9. Again, I need as many of these cheap guys as possible to afford the big hitters in midfield and attack. Midfielders on the watch list, Mohamed Salah, the three Tottenham guys, Son, Madison and Richarlison. Three Arsenal midfielders as well, Saka, Odegaard and Havertz. Phil Foden, Cole Palmer, Anthony Gordon, Eze at Palace and Garnacho at Manchester United. Again, Salah's a lock, Palmer's a lock. Gordon under consideration for sure. Yeah, Foden, haven't sold him yet. Bit of value tied up there, so I'm just leaving that till the last minute on that decision. Saka left my team and he is definitely going to come back in. I think some wildcards will go without Saka because he's got Man City next and he is expensive if you're going big hitters, but I'm going to try and fit him in. Son is going to stay. I think Madison will probably leave the squad, again, financial reasons, but I'm open to Richarlison, who's cheaper than Madison. Up front on the watch list, Haaland, Watkins, Darwin, Isak, Solanke, Hoyland at Manchester United and Muniz. So loads of attractive strikers and only three spots. Watkins is probably going to go. Haaland's going to come back in. Darwin very likely to come in as well. And then it's probably a decision between the likes of Isak, Solanke, Muniz as a cheaper forward and maybe a bit more cash in midfield, defence or goalkeeper. And Hoyland is attractive at Manchester United as well. So I'll stop leaving you in suspense, but most of you probably fast forward already to the wildcard draft section. Like I said, there's 0.0 million in the bank with this one, so I am being very, very careful. I'm keeping an eye on fplstatistics.com every night just to make sure nothing goes wrong and messes up this jigsaw. So Kelleher and Petrovic in goal, a defense of Gabriel, Pedro Porro, Malo Gusto, and then two 3.9 million defenders, which I don't usually do. But in Chris Richards, we've got a pretty reliable one at Crystal Palace. And I'm hoping Lascelles at Newcastle becomes reliable as well. And if he does, he's obviously great for a bench boost down the line. Midfield, lots of big hitters here. Salah, Son and Saka. Cole Palmer, who is a big hitter for a cheap price. And Garnacho would come back in as my fifth midfielder. Great for a sub and great for the bench boost later as well. Up front, Erling Haaland, Darwin Nunez, two great fixtures that I want to target in the short term. And, you know, may not stay long term, but again, I want to bring him in short term. And then Alexander Isak, again, targeting the Newcastle fixtures. good for a bench boost down the line if he stays injury free, and a player I really like who I never own, and I want to try and do as much of that in FPL at the moment as well. So Isak, this feels like an opportunity. West Ham at home, good time to bring him in. A couple of good fixtures short term and a good long term pick for the strategy as well. So to me, this wildcard is feeling pretty settled, to be honest, even though I'm recording on Wednesday. As long as nothing major goes wrong, I don't think I'm going to be a million miles away from this. We will finish up with a look at captaincy for the weekend. It's not straightforward. There's actually lots of good options because Erling Haaland plays Arsenal. And of course, in the reverse, Saka plays Manchester City. So straight away, two of the usual suspects for the armband face each other in a very hard game to predict, which we'll see a lot of managers move elsewhere for the captaincy. I think that's what I'll be doing. I'll be looking elsewhere this week, despite probably bringing Haaland and Saka back into the squad. Salah at home to Brighton at the lowest ownership he's going to be for the rest of the season is very attractive. Heung-min Son probably has a better fixture at home to Luton, like that a lot as well. Watkins, for those who have him or keep him, I mean, there's probably a 5% chance I do keep him, but I think it's looking unlikely, unless there was concerns over Darwin's fitness or something like that, because he is flagged at the moment, but I expect that to clear up. Watkins is at home to Wolves. He's a good captaincy candidate, as is Cole Palmer at home to Burnley. Again, a very good fixture. Those who go Moniz, don't hate that as a differential, away to Sheffield United. Solanke's home to Everton, and the Newcastle guys are at home to West Ham. Isak and Gordon are in the conversation as well. But I think for me, it will be probably Salah to try and capitalise on going the week earlier to bring him in, like the fixture against a Brighton defence who don't keep many clean sheets. But it will be close between Salah and Son. And I really like Cole Palmer at home to Burnley as well. So I think those are the top three for me. But I think the Liverpool man will get it.
Sports Social, now on the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Pedro from the Arsenal Opinion Podcast, and I am hyped about the title running. Can Arsenal pit Pep and Klopp? Will our young squad be described as mentality monsters? Is Mikel Arteta truly a generational saucy manager? Come and join us on the Arsenal Opinion Podcast to follow the boys on this historic 2024 Premier League title run-in and hear analysis of the games, the hottest transfer rumours, the Arsenal culture and the business of football. 3 times a week exclusively on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Search the Arsenal Opinion now and come and join the fun.
Thank you for taking the time to listen, folks. Best of luck for Game Week 30, especially to my fellow wildcarders. I'll talk to you again next week to preview Game Week 31. If you're not interested in the Patreon stuff, you can buy me a coffee instead. Simply go to buymeacoffee.com/FPL General. And after you do so, I will send you an email to join my FPL Discord server. Wishing you all green arrows this weekend.
Podcast Network.